Wednesday, August 7th, 2019, Pine Low Camp morning meeting.
The presence of the Lord God's been generous with us thus far, and we're so thankful. Who will come to the piano other than me? Oh, good. Appreciate that. Praise the Lord. I'd like us to sing in a moment. The Lord is blessing me right now. He woke me up this morning and He sent me on my way. The Lord is blessing me right now. We were just up in Prince George with Earl Reed. He's feeling it pretty hard to be thinking of his wife in heaven and not with him anymore. They were an incredibly close couple. And this is a tough walk for him. Cindy would very often be sitting in her chair when Earl left in the morning, and she'd have her Bible on her lap, and she'd be getting ready after he left to read the Word and to pray and intercede for many of you, many of us. And Earl needed encouragement. it was just his makeup. He didn't find it as easy to be cheerful like Cindy did, in spite of her being wheelchair-bound practically, unable to walk, unable to transport herself around. Earl said it wasn't very many minutes after he got in the car and was driving to work that he'd get a phone call from her, and then they'd have their little loving words, and then she would say to him, "Well, Earl, make a great day." And eventually she explained that. She said, "Earl, when I waken in the morning, I don't want to just let it be a great day. I want to make it a great day with the Lord." And I thought that was good wisdom for our ears. Amen. The Lord is blessing me right now. If you look at the first word in Psalm 1, it's blessed. B-L-E-S-S-E-D. We say it a couple of ways, blessed and blessed. But it really tells us that the heart of God is that He wants us blessed. He opens by saying blessed. He tells us what to do to position ourselves so that He can bless us. It's just His agenda to bless you and to bless me. He loves to do that. And this morning, if we'll open our hearts, He will. Once again, He'll bless us. So let's stand and sing that together. And then while we're singing that, I would like the moms and dads to bring the children up, the preschools and six and younger, and we'll have them sing a little bit. They'll probably have their own time later on, but we appreciate their ministry. So just come on up. And then if some of you that have a heart for the children to lead them a bit, maybe we'll have them sing a couple of songs in front of us before we proceed. So there's Jonah, there's Beckett, there's Vera, there's Isaiah, there's Selah, oh, there's Eleonora, there's Maria. Is that Maria or Clara? Clara. Good to have you all here. And Selah, good to have you come. We're going to sing "The Lord is Blessing Me" right now. There's a number of more children coming in. And Mackenzie and Thea. We're having the children come up. They're going to sing for us. But let's sing together before the Lord. "The Lord is blessing me right now." And like Brother Wayne said, let's think about what we're singing and believe Him that He's blessing us. The Lord is blessing me right now, right now. The Lord is blessing me Right now, right now, He woke me up this morning and He set me on my way. The Lord is really blessing me right now. That's a song from the Caribbean. How many of you have been in the Caribbean camps? Okay, if you know it well enough to sing out, just do that. Just sing out. The Lord is blessing me right now. I know you're not paying any attention to me at all. That's a good key. The Lord is blessing me right now, right now. The Lord is blessing me right now, right now. He woke me up this morning and He sent me on my way. The Lord is really blessing me right now. Sawyer and Cadence, do you want to come up?
Okay, Sawyer, come up.
Come on up. Are there some more yet to come? Good fellow. Let's sing that once more. Then we'll sing some children's songs. The Lord is blessing me right now, right now. The Lord is blessing me right now, right now. He woke me up this morning and He set me on my way. The Lord is really blessing me right now. So, adults, let's sing it to the children as a testimony. Not just words, but let's tell them that the Lord is blessing us right now. Will you do that with all of our hearts? Minister to them that the Lord is blessing you right now. The Lord is blessing me right now, right now. The Lord is blessing me right now. All right, why don't you adults be seated, but stay in the moment and let the children minister to you.
Okay, guys, look at me. We won't sing our new songs right now. We'll start singing Deep Inside and some of the ones we sing at church, okay? Okay. Sorry. Okay. Joshua.
For coming up. Thank you, sisters, for helping. We're going to, as the children are going back, Jesus wants me for a Sunday. Jesus wants me for a Sunday to shine for Him each day. Way try to please Him at home, at school, at play. A sunbeam, a sunbeam. Jesus wants me for a sunbeam. A sunbeam, a sunbeam. I'll be a sunbeam for Him. Praise God. Amen. Thank you. Maybe just stay. We'll see. We just don't know where God wants to lead us. I think it's very important for us to realize every one of us in this room that we should seek together for the leading of the Spirit of God, because He's taking us away we've never gone before. We're so used to things being prescribed for us. I think it must have been easy for the children of Israel in the wilderness. They always had that pillar of fire and the pillar of smoke. They always knew when God was moving on, and they unpitched their tents and gathered things up and moved along. And we've been fortunate to know the mind of God in a variety of ways, but He's really honing the church now so that we are learning to be led by the Spirit in a very real way, in a way that we are not familiar with so much. And so we all need to be pulling together on this and looking to God and standing ready, and you sensing the Spirit of God, feeling the prompting to be yielding your gifts. I want to say that if God was to lead in prophecy, there's probably, I'm just guessing, forgive me, but maybe 50% of us who are terrified of the idea of prophesying, even though you'd like to, right? Right? It's just, we're just built that way. And so if this would help you, it helps me. I just say, Lord, I know you want to speak words of comfort and encouragement to the church. I'm available. And Lord, I know you wouldn't allow me to have the wrong spirit. You're not like that. You would only give me your spirit. We're not worried about those things. We sometimes are afraid that we'll fumble our words or say something wrong. Those things don't matter, because we're family. We're not worried about hearing from perfect people, but hearing the perfect word of God through the vessels, which you are. So if God moves along that way in prophecy and you've been resistant or nervous, you just say, Lord, I know you want to speak to the people. I'm here. Will you do that this morning?
Amen.
No. Will you do that this morning? Will you consider right now in your heart, Lord, I'm available. You can use me. I'm terrified. But we need to move on into this area. Prophecy will not cease in the moving of the Spirit of God. It will just increase. And so God wants us to press in to those things. There's some prayer needs. Some of them are pretty urgent. I know, Lenore, you're prepared. Would you come up and stand ready? I heard somebody reported that there was a plane crash. Does somebody know about that and that we can remember? Do you want to come up, Diane, and share? I think there was at least one other prayer need this morning. Was there someone else? Yeah. Do you want to come up and share it? All right, let's stand before the Lord. When I was a young man walking in this move of the Spirit, I was born in 1951, and so I was carried to North Battleford as a baby. I haven't known anything else, but I remember one of the things that was taught is that the church of the Lord stands to minister and sits to rule. So I think mostly we need to stand. The ruling will come eventually, but let's stand before the Lord, and as these requests are brought, we'll all be in prayer together. Amen. Lenore, do you want to come and share?
I should have opened to the page. So I am bringing an urgent prayer request. Donna Snoke, I don't know, a lot of you know her and Brandon. They're part of our local assembly. Her brother was diagnosed, I believe in October, with angiosarcoma. For those not familiar with that, none of us were, that's a very, very rare cancer of the blood vessel. So I believe that the survival rate is less than 5%. So he's been taking chemo last week in Salt Lake. He has a large tumor on his skull, and they took some margin around it, and it came back clean, which was a huge answer to prayer. And these are really uncharted waters for really any surgeons that do this. So across the nation, across the world. So he's going in this morning for surgery. He's probably already in surgery. They're going to be removing a very large tumor on his head, and then they're taking a skin graft from his thigh and replacing that skin with the thigh. So it's a very painful surgery, very tedious, and I just told Donna we would bring that in prayer. So Heavenly Father, we just pray that you're with Ben Lewis this morning as he goes into surgery, as he might be in surgery now. Lord, we lift him to you, and we pray for wisdom and discernment and knowledge for these surgeons, a divine knowledge that comes from only your throne, because this is unknown to us mere humans, Lord, and we just pray for your divine healing and a comfort for Ben, Lord, as he goes through this surgery, and you've brought him this far, Lord, and we pray that your will be done and that your work be finished, that your work be finished in Ben, and that you comfort and strengthen Donna and Brandon, who have been with him. This is Donna's brother, Lord, who she is so close to, Lord, and you know their relationship. And I just lift them to you. I pray that you comfort them, that you give them peace. But, Lord, most of all, I pray that your work be completed in Ben, whatever that is, and in Donna and Brandon as they care for him, and that you would heal him, Lord, but in your will and in your way, Father. And, Lord, we pray that all those that are part of this, surgeons, doctors, family members, people who are praying all over, Lord, we just pray that whatever happens, Lord, that they would see it as you, Father, and not humans, Lord, and that you would just bring your will, Lord, and healing to Ben. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Paul messaged me yesterday that a cousin of his and Lois's, their youngest daughter was killed in a float plane crash in northern BC yesterday. She was in her early 30s. They're not Christian people, but we can still pray for them. Yes. And I had a very dear friend. A dear friend, Julie. She came to camp with us quite a few years ago in North Battleford, and she was diagnosed with early onset dementia, and she got to be that she couldn't walk and she couldn't talk, and she just passed away about an hour ago. You may know her daughter, Sarah. Anyway, she's pretty heartbroken. We were ready to let her go. Thank you, Paul. She's ready to let her go, but she'll still miss her. So I cover your prayers for that family also.
This is a couple of prayer requests. Would you just lead out from the congregation and bring these needs before the Lord? Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah, Lord. Praise God, hallelujah. Amen, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Blessed be your name, O Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, Lord, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
fill your church with peace, that we may know the words to minister unto those that are hurting. Be with this family that's lost this daughter in the north.
Yes. Lord,
as that is such a tragic, sudden thing, can be so heartbreaking for many years to lose a child. Oh Lord, thy kingdom come.
Yes.
Oh, that this death and heartbreak, we know that there is a kingdom where tears shall be no more.
Yes.
Help us to see that, to catch that glimpse of hope and faith, to know that you are working in every aspect of our lives. Dear God, oh gracious Lord, give us the will to walk in thy path, each step that we would take, each word that we would say, to minister unto this world in this hurting and decrepit world, Lord.
Yes, God.
Thy kingdom come.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, precious Hallelujah. Lord, precious Hallelujah. Lord, hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Our dear Heavenly Father, it says in your word that you see even a sparrow fall.
Yes.
And that you feel our hurt and our pain. And Lord, there are some hurting and some in pain from this loss. And we just pray that you would come with your peace, the peace that passes all understanding.
Yes.
And that you would comfort these people, that you would comfort them in their loss, and that you would just undertake even more than we could ask or think.
Yes, yes Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Wonder, is Rhianne available to pray for that family from Vancouver? Julie's the one that passed away, and Sarah's the daughter. Yeah. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for Julie's life. Lord, I thank you for the joy she brought everyone in her life, Lord. And I thank you so much for her faith in you that she carried, and just what a blessing she was to our assembly, Lord. God, I just thank you that she's in your arms, Jesus. And
yes.
And the happiest she's ever been, Lord.
Yes.
And I thank you that you're with Sarah. You've been with her through this whole journey.
Yes.
And she's been so wonderful to Julie.
Yes.
And she's cherished every minute with her. And so I just pray that you'd be with her in this time of grief. That
Lord. Yes, God.
Hallelujah. That as she lets her mom go, that those the wonderful character that her mom was would be a real strength to her in these days ahead, and
yes,
and that you would give her courage to face each day,
yes.
Lord, and just that she would see your hand, and that her deepest heart's cries would be answered, Lord.
Yes,
Lord, we just come against all the plans the enemies had in their life,
yes.
And
yes.
Ask that you would transform
yes.
all the hurts and harms into something good.
Yes.
And I just pray for Diane and her family too, who were so good to Julie all these years as well.
Yes.
And just help them in their grief, and that their memories too would help strengthen them
yes.
in these days ahead.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That you were there in that room with her when she passed away, and you're with us all in our grief.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We were contacted yesterday by one of the members of our assembly, Joanne White, who many of you know. She is a real intercessor in our midst, and she brings many of people in the community in prayer to the Lord. But her family has struggled with many, many things, and she has a grandson named Tanner who has battled pretty severe addiction. We brought a prayer request at North Battleford. He, at that point, was going into rehab. He took a shortcut through the rehab, which we were all concerned about, and then has been struggling with pain and has slipped again. And so she asked that we would pray for Tanner. But in addition to that, I feel like as a body where we have a very small assembly, and we have tremendous needs, and some of them are incredibly ongoing. And I would pray, probably not just for us, but for all of us, how do we deal with these ongoing needs? You know, we need to have a word of hope, but it just feels like when it's just a repetition and it goes on and on and on, it's easy to feel despair. And I think as Christ's hand extended, we need to have something more for these people that continue to suffer over and over again with the same issues. So my prayer request is twofold, for Tanner and also for us as a body, that we would have an answer to things like addiction and despair.
Yes.
Okay. Lord, we are so thankful for your gracious, tender care for us. And we love you so much, and we just want to come before you, Lord, with our hearts open. You know the concerns that are on our hearts. You know the concerns of this grandmother, Joanne, for her grandson, who desires with all of his heart to be free.
Yeah.
And we just pray in the name of Jesus, with the strength that is coming from our Heavenly Father, that you would bring deliverance for this young man once and for all, that he would be set free from the chains that bind him, that he would have no more desire for those things. We just lift him up, Lord, and we pray that there would be a hope in his heart, that he would lift up his eyes to you and see the light that is there for him, and that you would bring complete deliverance. We pray, Lord, for any others that are battling the same type of thing. We know that you are abundantly able. If we were to stand before you and before this body with testimonies of those who have been delivered, there has been deliverance in this body. And we're asking, Lord, that you would bring that deliverance again, that it would not be a thing that's just a drip, but it would be a faucet that's flowing freely for those that are in need. And not only for those in the body, Lord, but that our hands, we would be your hand extended, that we would be able to have the power of Jesus Christ to reach out to those that are in need in the world, people that we need or that we meet who cry out to you, who want help, Lord, and we feel so helpless in our human limitations. We pray, Lord, for this body, that we would know that Christ in us is the hope of glory, that Christ in us is hope of salvation, and Christ in us has the power to meet the needs of those in the world that are so needy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
The Spirit of God is really resting on His people today, and some of you are feeling a tug. Maybe you don't even know why. But if you feel you want to come up and just pray, or pray where you are, just let the Spirit of intercession rest upon the whole church. Not just the intercessors, but let's all be caught in the current of the presence of God and let Him accomplish His will. There's so much that God wants to do to bring the church to perfection. And the answer is not better messages. The answer is not better singers. The answer is Jesus and a closer walk with Him. And we need a lot of repair in the church, a lot of things that God is going to do to perfect the church so that she'll come down out of heaven as a bride, perfected, prepared for Jesus Christ. And this is this could be a very quick work that the Lord is doing in these last days. We pray that it will be. Even so, Lord Jesus, come is the cry of our hearts. So just continue to let the Spirit of God rest on you. And you don't have to be on theme if you pray, if you have a cry of your heart for a need right where you are. You just feel free.
Yeah. So I have two. I'll start off with a praise report. Many of them know at home that I struggled with eyesight. And for years I had keratoconus, which is a doubling of the corneas. And I struggled for that for many years. And so just recently I had... I wasn't touched by the Lord, but the eye doctors, I feel that they were. And so I have special contact lenses that allow me to see. I couldn't see with beans, and now I can see for miles. And so that's just one thing that I take claim from God. Yeah. And so, Amy. second thing is that just before we came here, my father wasn't feeling very well on Friday, and he had some symptoms, and so he went to the doctor went to the hospital, and we got the message later on that he went to the hospital, and so I went with him because he's by himself there. So for many hours we were in the waiting room, and in the test results, blood and everything. And so they sent him through a CAT scan x-ray machine and found out that one of his kidneys had a lump on his kidney. And so anyways, they said that they had to have to remove one of his kidneys. And so he has two, so he can get rid of his kidney and function with the other one. So, yeah, need prayer for that.
Just lift your dad up in prayer and we'll stand with you.
Thank you, Father, for all you do for us.
Yes.
And although I never thought I'd be standing here praying for my father, I am today.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I ask that you help him with his surgery and the booking of the appointment.
Yes.
And the removal of his kidneys so that he can be free of this cancer or potential cancer. It's hard to determine what it is right now, but we know that there's something there and it has to be removed. Please undertake the situation. Make it right.
Yes,
as
God.
We know that you can.
Yes, Lord.
Take it away, Lord.
Yes, God.
And Lord, we thank you. I thank you for helping the doctors.
Yes.
With my eyesight.
Yes.
And
God.
The technology in these contact lenses. It's amazing that these little pieces of plastic in my eyes make me see so much better.
Thank you, God.
I just thank you.
Yes, God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. While others are coming, I don't want you to feel bound to stand if you feel like sitting and resting a bit and standing up again. But for the most part, if you're able to stand, just join us in prayer. Wendy.
This morning I was able to get on the internet and I looked at my email, and the Church of Saskatoon sent out a prayer request. A lot of, you know, Minnie Campbell, she's a really dear friend of mine and just one of the sweetest ladies that you could know. She is at home and she has double pneumonia. And the, from what I recall the email, the elders and deacons were going over there last night to pray over her. I don't know how she is, but I would just really like prayer for Minnie Campbell because she really needs a touch from the Lord.
Yes.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Lord. Father, we just bring before you Minnie Campbell, Lord. Yes. Father, we just pray that you touch her lungs, Lord.
Yes.
We just pray that you just touch her, Lord. Heal her, Lord, of this pneumonia, Lord. Father, she has touched so many lives, and she has been such a faithful servant of yours, Lord. And we just really still need her, Lord, here. Father, we just pray for her now. Just pray for her family as well, as they're with her, and just give them the strength, Lord. Father, we just thank you for your healing hand. We thank you that we can always come to you for whatever the need may be, and that you hear us, Lord, and you will answer in your own way, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we just give many to you, Lord, for that healing. In Jesus' name we pray.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise God. I'd like to give like a little testimony and a word of encouragement from what Gwen was talking about this morning. And then I have a prayer request too. Some of you probably know my brother Dan, and for a good 10, 12 years, he is really struggling with drug addiction along with his girlfriend or wife for quite a few years. And actually had gotten so bad at one point, I really believed and knew that he was either going to commit suicide, accidental overdose, or killed by a drug deal or something like that. He wasn't dealing drugs, but in the process, that whole situation. And I went to the store, and they wanted some stuff for the house because they didn't have any money. And I was just sitting in my car, and I just knew that I wasn't going to let the enemy win this battle. Uh-huh. And God just put it on my heart that the enemy's not going to win. And pretty much within 1 year later, he was up here at camp with his daughter, and he had his hands up in the air singing songs and praising God. It's when we had the November camp. And things definitely got better over the years. But there's also some other things going on in his life. There were some accusations against him from another family member. And that was never resolved, and I think that was part of the whole situation. And about 3 or 4 years ago, I can't remember exactly, and it really made a big division in the family. Family get-togethers are just kind of, you know, really was hard for the family, and I just struggled for years and years over it and prayed about it, and you wanted to believe both sides were telling the truth. So there's one day at work, I was breaking up pine cones under a tree, I still remember it, and God put on my heart just to pray for a resolution to this situation, you know, by the end of the year, that God would bring some sort of resolution, and, you know, just whatever it was. And so that evening when I was at home, my sister-in-law had come over, and she said that day that she had gotten a letter in the mail from the family member that had made those accusations, and they said that they had lied about it. So over all these years, and then that day that God put on my heart to pray for a resolution. It doesn't always work out that way, but we have to pray believing and just trusting in God that he'll resolve. And then, you know, and addictions are very difficult. Unfortunately, my brother started drinking again a few years ago, and it got really bad, you know. Just really difficult for my sister-in-law, borderline where she would have to leave, wanted to leave the thing until it got better. And then about a year ago, he started going to AA, and it took a long time, and just, you know, but he hasn't drank in for at least 6 months now. that for, you know, a good 30 years struggling with all those things, you know, we just have to keep praying. We have to keep believing. Just don't give up. Don't let the enemy win in these situations. We just have to believe and pray. So just an encouragement just to keep going, because it really is difficult for the family and you're so close and just wanting to have that peace there that God can do. And then a prayer request for Edie Wright. She texted me this morning. They're in Colorado still. They're heading to the East Coast. Her grandson is graduating from medical school, and then their granddaughter is getting married 3 weeks later, so they're going to be gone on this long road trip and then driving up to North Battleford for another reception and driving back. Well, she fell taking a step on the sidewalk and broke her hip, I think in Fort Collins. Is that where they're at?
Yeah,
Fort Collins, where Reggie's at. Reggie was able to visit. And they're supposedly she'll be in the rehab place till the 13th, but she's really having a lot of pain in her tailbone because she broke her hip. And the pain medication, she says, it's not doing any good. So, and then they're supposed to drive home in a week. And then she's struggled. Well, she fell about 3 weeks ago. She passed out at home and sat and landed on the back of her head. Was in the hospital for a couple of days with nausea, and it took 3 adjustments to get the crystals in her ear to get equilibrated, and just like that she was feeling better, but back black and blue like this, and of course with her stroke. So they've gone through a lot over their last several years, and but she can't eat. Food just doesn't taste good for her, so she needs the nutrition and support for her body to heal. But if you don't want to eat, then it's hard to do that in the long trip home. So I know some of you have been praying already, but she wanted a prayer again this morning for the tailbone pain and then for her nausea. So if you pray with me, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we just come before you again, Lord, and we know that you're very aware of these situations and these trials and these struggles, Lord. We know that you work all things for your glory, God, and we just rest in your goodness, your faithfulness, and that you are able and you are faithful, Lord, to bring us through, Lord. We just pray for relief from the pain, Lord. We pray that you would touch her tongue and her mouth, Lord, that the food would be palatable and taste good for her, for the nutrition and the sustenance that she needs in her body, Lord. And just pray that you give them peace as they're away from home and trying to get back home, Lord, after this operation, Lord. And just be with Dave, Lord, minister to his needs and give him the peace and the strength and the hope that they both need, Lord, that you are there and able to provide, Lord, and your grace is sufficient for all of our needs, Lord. Not more, but sufficient for what we need. And just help us to draw close to you, the body of Christ draws closer to you as we bring these to you, God, that you would be glorified, Lord. And we just ask this in your holy name. Amen.
Bless the Lord. I know that our dear sister Barb Levson in Victoria is on many of your hearts. I'm not really an intercessor, but you can certainly intercess for me as I pray this morning. And also, I know God will honor an office whether you have that gift or not. Bless God. So I'm thankful for that. And we miss our dear brother Victor very much. Him and I were elders in the church together for many, many years. Bless God. Lord, our dear sister Barb is greatly loved, I know, by those that know her here. Oh Lord, and many others are praying for her. I thank you for their prayers. Hallelujah. Yes. Lord, we pray, O Lord, that you will intercede on her behalf, O Lord. For we know it's only you who have that ability to overrule the attacks of the enemy of our souls. Hallelujah. Bless God. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful privilege that is ours, that we can bring all our needs and requests, O Lord, to you. Yes, and that we are truly, blessed above all the people on the face of the earth because we know you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah. Pray also for all the family, but especially for her daughters and son at this time. It must be a very enormous trial to see your mother suffering so deeply, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that when someone dear to us, that our hearts do grieve. It would be not a nice thing to think someone could just go and we just go forget about it, Lord. We thank you for that grieving process, Lord. But we would pray that we know it has to be. We would pray for Barb that it wouldn't be as extreme as it is, Lord. That you would lift some of that, Lord. That you would make that load lighter, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I was wondering, Rod Betcher, if you would pray for Earl Reed as he grieves over the passing of his wife. Come on.
Oh, bless your name, O Lord. Oh, loving Father, oh, Jesus, Lord, you see our brother Earl, Lord, in the loss that he has experienced. Lord, he was so close to Cindy. Lord, she was such a wonderful, loving person. A ray of light in his life.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that his heart is grieving, Lord, and his children's hearts are grieving, Lord, that you would come in like a flood.
Yes.
Lord, that your love would envelop the family, Lord. Lord, that his heart would be lifted into that place where you are, Lord.
Yes.
That he would see, Lord, that you are still in his life and in control.
Amen.
Lord, that Cindy was such a blessing to so many.
Yes.
But Lord, as his heart and his soul misses his wife, Lord, Lord, we know that that will not go away. But Lord, that you can come in and bring to him peace,
yes, God,
and joy,
yes,
and love.
Yes.
Lord, that he would understand how deep your love is. Lord, we don't have explanations for all these things. There's no pat answers. But Lord, we can trust in your love. We can trust in the fact that you came for us, that you loved us so much that even knowing our hearts, you would love us even more.
Yes.
There is nothing that can come between that love and you and us.
Amen.
And that you are there. You see him and you love him.
Yes.
Your heart breaks as his heart breaks.
Yes.
You have compassion and empathy for him. You feel what he feels. And just help him to feel your love coming in waves, Lord.
Yes. Yes.
And as the grief comes in waves, that your love would meet those waves, Lord.
Yes.
We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yesterday, Trace and Erica started out with the children to come to camp. They were a day delayed. They wanted to be here sooner. But they, getting it together with all the children was difficult. And we collaborated and decided, okay, we're going to help them out because they've got so much to bring. So we brought all the fans, we brought the bed rail, we brought the detergent and things like that to bring along to camp, and trucked up here yesterday with it and got the room ready for them so that they would be cool and all that. Well, they got as far as, I think, Sandpoint, which is an hour and a half from our house, and they were going to make the turn, I guess, and the two-and-a-half-year-old, Nola, threw up all over the car seat. So they were in a little bit of despair and called and said, okay, what to do? And so I told them, we told them where the key was and how to get in the house because they wanted to go to our house because they were feeling very, like they couldn't bring this sick child to amongst all these wonderful other little ones, and they just didn't know where they were at. And if you know Eric at all, she's rather structured, and she was feeling really stressed because she's had a really bad year. It's been very difficult with the baby, etc., all the things that have happened along the way. And so her and Trace have really been through the mill and the Calgary Assembly and anyone else that's known about the situation with baby Leo. So anyway, they made it down to the house, and they got in the house and unpacked and didn't have any soap because I brought the soap, and they didn't have any beds for the babies, and they all sleep confined. So the house was hot, too, and so they needed to get it cool, and there was no fans, but we have air. But, you know, upstairs is never cool enough, and there's not enough noise because they're all used to noise at night to sleep. So they didn't have a good night. The baby was up all night crying, and he's 4.5 months. And Nola, she wandered around because she wasn't confined. And so they've had a bad night. And we just got a text and saying they can't make it today. So I'm feeling this great need to jump in the car and rush home with the porter, the beds, so they can at least maybe feel some security and a few fans and whatnot. And anyway, that's where we're at. And I just, somebody pray for them, please. I'm feeling really grandmotherly and stressed right now. Like I want to take care of them and help them. And but I know the Holy Spirit is what really is going to comfort them, and we can do physically, but we can't do it spiritually and mentally to make these children feel rested and sleep and be at peace and all the things that the Lord provides for us as we are walking with Him. Hallelujah.
So, hallelujah. I wondered, someone...
I can pray.
No, oh, yeah.
But if someone can, it would be lovely. Go ahead.
Jesus, you know just how difficult a year it has been for their family, Lord. You know that they want to be in the presence of people just loving on them and supporting them. And God, you know that they are seeking after you so much, just to Lord, I'm struggling for the words, but I just know that they love you and want you, and they just need your peace right now. Lord, let this be another situation where they see you really come through for them in a way that just strengthens their testimony. Lord, I see their testimony just growing and growing. It's always been strong, but it just grows and grows through these things. But Lord, it's so hard as their family and for them to see them having a hard time. Lord, we have such a hard time with that. And we just earnestly come before you and ask that you would just really bring peace and a sense of quiet and a sense of knowing that it's going to be okay, and just give wisdom about, whether there needs to be a trip back to, you know, Lord, we just need your direction to know whether to go back and get the beds, or whether they can be able to come. It would be so wonderful if they could come. We want to seek your will and do what, because if we go out of your will, we know you'll bring us back, but it's just harder, Lord, and we just want them to feel a direction. Are they going to stay there? Should they head home? Do they come? And that they would be at peace, complete peace about what the decision is, that they would know it's from you. And just pray that you would calm all our hearts in that rest that you give. And it's sometimes, Lord, it feels like it takes a lot of focus to quiet the noise inside our head and outside of us to have that rest. And we know that you are training us to keep coming back to you to find that rest. But Lord, it is not an easy training session, this life. I just pray for strength to continue to turn back to you for all of us and for them right now, Jesus. Amen.
We're going to have one more ministry here in a moment regarding Sister Barb Lefson. But I'd like us to just stand together and sing, "In Thee, O Lord, Do I Put My Trust." I sense, church, that every one of us is dealing with obstacles, concerns. It's just normal for us human beings, but we've got to get to the place where Jesus is always the go-to, right? Always the go-to. And where we're conscious of Him and Him meeting our needs. So we'll sing, "In Thee, O Lord, Do I Put My Trust." And then a really important part, "Be still and know that I am God." And then, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." Let's sing that together. "In Thee, O Lord." Try C. "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. In Thee, O Lord, do still and know. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Be seated while our sister comes. Just want to just give a bit of a preamble. Brother Wayne, I remember at camp in North Battleford how you realized you were in a predicament where there was no righteousness, peace, and joy. And you and Lois were in your car, and you realized that you needed God to get involved. And you just pulled the car over and parked until there was righteousness, peace, and joy. We have a situation in our neighborhood. Our next-door neighbors are very involved in drug dealing and all manner of things that are going on, illegal things. We see there the marijuana on the front yard. There's children, lots of children. This is not a situation for the police. This is a situation for Jesus. And we know God seems to have given Marjorie and me such a love for these people. We pray for them lots. We hug them. We just want to see the love of God do His work. It's so tempting at times to call the police and see these boys and girls going over to the house and who knows what all was going on. But we just pray righteousness, peace, and joy would pervade our neighbors and that God would give them release. I was just talking to a Christian brother. Sorry to take longer than I should, but I think it's okay to say this. He's working in a business here in the United States, and a government business, and one of his co-workers, a man, has just become a woman. And how is he going to deal with that, right? Predicament for us Christians. You know what? Whether they're a man or a woman, they need love. Their lives are in so much torment. We just don't need to add to that. We need to bring righteousness, peace, and joy. Give them compassion. We're not here to solve the world's problems. We're here to see the kingdom of God be ushered in. That'll solve the problems. We can't fix the social issues. There's no fixing our governments. There's no fixing the hatred and the schism that's in the hearts of humans except Jesus. And it's going to not be us micromanaging the world, but letting the kingdom of God enter our hearts like never before, until the light of God in you and me just bursts forth into their lives and they can walk with Him. It's going to happen. It's happening. Praise His name. So let's just look for the kingdom of God in our situations. What are you facing? Relationships, disappointments, financial, whatever it is, the answer is the King. Praise His name. Sister.
I just want to encourage you not to be discouraged about Victor's death, because he's with the Lord, you know. And I know Barb is grieving, and that's what I just want to touch on today is that Barb is a very wonderful lady, and I know God's got her in His hands, you know. He's with her right now, and she needs comfort. So this is called Loss of a Loved One. I wrote this years ago in 1996, and I thought, it's perfect. I read the whole thing, and I thought, this is the word. I think I'm supposed to give this today. So it says, inside you feel like crying. Your friend has moved away. A loss is felt within you. There's nothing left to say. It is a painful separation from someone held so dear. You worry about the future. You feel a lot of fear. With helplessness and sadness, you're waiting for a change. Your life is filled of emptiness, and adjusting feels so strange. Amidst the mass confusion, amongst the drowning pain, Jesus' calm, still voice is speaking, reassuring you again. A comfort came when He said that you would never be alone. When Jesus touched your heart, He created warmth from stone. He said, I will bind up your broken heart. I will heal all your wounds. And I will drive away the fear. And I will always be your friend. So don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about today. I am here to help you. To help you find your way. I dedicate that to Barb.
Yeah, I like that, just the request that we pray for my neighbors Who would like to do that? Would you? Yeah, please come. Pray for Ricky, the dad of five boys. Shasta, the mom of three of them. And just so Ricky and Shasta.
Lord, we come to you today with the concern of Brian and Marge's neighbors. We ask that you pray for you keep Ricky and Shasta in your thoughts. Yes. Help them with all they have to do. And we thank you that we can come to you with all these concerns, Lord. And we ask for a covering over their neighbors.
Yes, Lord.
And help them on their way as they seem a little lost.
Yes, God. Hallelujah.
It's just so wonderful we can come to you for everything. Lord. You are the way, the avenue, the end, the Almighty.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
There's no more. There's no limits.
That's right. Amen.
Take it away. It's yours.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen, Lord.
The Lord seemed to be prompting me to sing this song, so I hope it will be a blessing to you. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, bit lower. My voice is not so good this morning. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my His eye is on the sparrow.
My name is Debbie, and I'm originally from Colorado, then moved to Texas, and now I'm in Oregon. The Lord has been doing a great work in my own heart, mainly because, like some of you, there are times when I have problems with depression, when I have problems with discouragement. Anxiety can be part of it. Despair definitely goes along with it. Feelings of darkness and hopelessness. And the Lord has taught me. I was discussing with the Lord that I really shouldn't get up here, and he was discussing with me that I really should. So anyway, I'm going to try and share with you what he's laid on my heart. I have struggled with these things for years and years. I came from a broken home, and so part of what the Lord has showed me is that because that's where I came from, those are my go-to emotions. But that doesn't mean that's the way it has to be. And that's what God says. No, I'm in a new family now.
Amen.
And I have and am able, if I choose, to have a renewed mind and a renewed spirit and a renewed heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
And God says every day, Debbie, you can wake up and you can decide, because there's times when I still feel the despair and the darkness. I mean, it comes and it goes because we live here on this earth.
Yeah.
But he says, Debbie, I died to give you a choice. Today, right now, this minute, if need be, you can choose to take my hand and not listen to that spirit of despair. You can choose to listen to the Holy Spirit instead. You can choose to sing a song of Zion and let me lift you up to where you need to be rather than stay where you are. And I've actually, just in the last couple of months, there was a time when I was in bed and I'm like, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I need to pull the covers up over my head. I need to hide. I need to isolate. I can't. And he says, Debbie, today you can choose to throw those covers back. You can choose to praise my name. And you can choose to get out of that bed and live. Because that's his will for us. He wants us to walk in victory.
Yes, amen.
He wants us to walk in life. And he's right there. I call it chatting with Jesus. Sometimes he'll tell me, let's come and reason this out together. Let's look at these voices you're listening to that you shouldn't be listening to. And so the word of God is so important to us because God tells us what to think in the word, right?
Yes.
He renews my mind in the Word. And I need to have that as my go-to. I need to have Jesus as my go-to. And not the world and not the despair. The despair can come and go so easy. And chronic problems, chronic health issues, been there, done that. And it's hard. It is so hard. And I have cried out to the Lord so many times, what do we do? But you know what? You do one day at a time. That's all God asks. And sometimes it's only 1 minute at a time because that's all I can handle until I bring the Lord to bear on it and he can wipe it away. But that's what he wants us to do. We just have to call out to him because you know what? Jesus is interested in every aspect of our life. My own thoughts of despair, of anger, of whatever it is that's causing the problem. God wants to be a part of that. He's told me that. I want to be a part of every part of you, Debbie. Everything matters. And everything matters for the rest of us. So my thing that I think the Lord wants you to know more than anything is that he loves you. He loves us so much that he died for us. And he's willing to come into wherever we are. It doesn't matter wherever we are. Whatever our thoughts are, whatever our attitudes are, whatever our feelings are. And dwell right there and make everything better. And I have even stopped. He's taught me to stop when those times come, because sometimes they come in like a lion. Just to stop and just say, Jesus, come. Come and be right here and wait till he comes. I love what Brother Wayne Peter had said. You stop and you wait till God changes the situation. Because he will.
Amen.
If we stand on his word, he'll do it.
Amen.
Thank you.
Father, we come before you in prayer, Lord, about the matters that our sister has raised.
Yes.
About depression and anxiety.
Yes.
Despair.
Yes.
Father, we know, and you know better than we know, how widespread these things are in the world today. We know that there are millions of people that are struggling with depression and anxiety, Lord. And we know that the church is not unaffected by this, for there are many that have testified of the need in their life. Father, as we were admonished earlier in this meeting, we are looking to you, Lord, for help. Lord, we need to have answers for these serious issues that sometimes take people's lives, sometimes incapacitate them to function. Sometimes when people are depressed and anxious, Lord, their ministry is curtailed and they need ministry. And Lord, we are okay with that. But Father, we are praying that you will set your body free.
Yes.
We are praying, Lord, that you will set your people free in this hour.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we long that we may walk in faith and may walk in victory and in
yes.
strength.
Yes.
Father, we pray that you will reveal to us what we need to know to address these issues. We know, Lord, that there are many spiritual components to this depression and anxiety. We know your word is filled with admonitions that can help us and strengthen us, Lord. We know that in the body of Christ there are discerning of spirits. There are those who can detect the work of the enemy in our lives and can guide us and help us to find freedom from the influence of the evil one. Father, we know that there are sometimes organic causes to these things. There's a physical dimension. Lord, you designed our bodies. You designed us, Lord, and our minds to be generally to be happy, Lord, and to be able to face life day by day and hour by hour without having chronic depression and anxiety in our lives. And Lord, we need to know why there seems to be such a strong physical element to this matter. Lord, we are looking to you for help. Lord, we are not coming to you in a spirit where we know the answers to all of these things. Lord, we know that you have all of the answers to all of our questions, Lord, especially those that you are wanting us to focus on in the church in this hour. And so, Lord, we pray that you will bring a great deliverance, Lord. If there are things that I haven't asked for, Lord, things that I don't know that I don't know, Lord, you are the revealer of secrets. And when your people seek you, Lord, in humility and with a hunger for truth, Lord, you are able to reveal the thing that needs to be. Lord, we know you love your church. Lord, we know you want to call your church out of the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. Lord, we are looking forward to the day when our people will be free from depression and anxiety and despair, Lord. And we will have a spirit of confidence and encouragement. And we not only that we are free, Lord, but we will be equipped to set other people free. For, Lord, you called us to do such things in the earth. And so, Lord, we are making ourselves available to you. And we're asking for your help, Lord. And if there's any pride in our life, Lord, just help us to walk in humility and to set it aside. For we don't want knowledge or whatever it might be to be an impediment to your work in our midst, Lord. Blessed be thy name.
Blessed be thy name.
Jesus' name.
Praise God. Praise God. The devil's a liar. He's the father of lies. The Word of God tells us that we're not ignorant of his devices. And it's time that we move out of that. It's so easy to be developing habits and to fall into the same rotation over and over and over and over again. When I look at victimization, everybody ever heard I'm a victim? You know, it's a popular word, you know, where you're a victim. Just because your life is hard done by doesn't make you a victim. We have to get out of victim mentality. Victim should not be part of our vocabulary. It should be something that we erase and get rid of and throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. If anybody was a victim, Joseph comes to my mind. Well, you know, nobody likes me. You got that? I have no friends. Did Joseph have friends? Family problems. Did Joseph have family problems? Like when you feel bad, read something from the Word of God. Read about Joseph. Read about his life and what he accomplished. The unfortunate thing about your life is that you are where you are. You see where you've been, but you don't know where you're going. And God knows the end from the beginning. He also knows what you're thinking. He knows the thoughts and the intents of mankind. And you know, because if we were to read the story of Joseph and we were just to say, well, we don't know how this ends, you're reading it for the first time, and you realize, you know, that your brothers are figuring out which way they're going to get rid of you. That'd be a bit of a problem. You know, death is on your doorstep. Who's bigger than that? Your God? Has he changed? Doesn't the word of God say that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? He's in tune with God. He's got a vision. Haven't we had visions? Don't we have hope? Don't we have a plan? Aren't we excited about life? And then something happens. Circumstances happen. You know, kids are happy, you know. Look at these kids up here. They're as happy as a lark. You know, they're not intimidated. They're just enjoying life. They got no problems. I mean, their problems are small compared to your problems. But we learn to mistrust. But God is bigger than that. God is bigger than that. So he had a vision, and he was interested. He felt it was from God. And he ended up being sold 2 times. Highest bidder gets me. Wouldn't that be exciting? You have no idea who's going to buy you. I'm a victim. No, you're not. God has a plan for your life. God intends for us to be kings and priests. And if we're going to allow the enemy of our soul to lie to us, we might be going nowhere fast. I didn't see in Joseph hopelessness. Do you? I see in his life victory. 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 Every day is victory. I'm in prison. I'm in the well. When he's in prison, he ends up ruling the prison. Is that making the best of your situation? I think so. Now, when I came up here, I wasn't going to talk about this. I got notes that I haven't looked at yet. But I really want us to get out of the victim mentality. I want us to quit eating from the tree of knowledge. Knowledge is information about man. You know, you could study. You could, if you looked at 400 people and how they operate, you would have some knowledge about humanity and human behavior. But the tree of life is a different tree. It's God, the tree of knowledge has fruit and the tree of life has fruit, but they're very different fruit. The tree of life is what we're participating in right now. Amen. The scriptures talks about it. I looked up the word familiar spirits. You know, the psychiatrists and psychologists and all those people are very, very busy. They're getting busier all the time. Familiar spirits are spirits that are familiar with you. You know what confuses them? When you start speaking in tongues. They have no clue where this is going. And when the Word of God says that they that are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, are we not interested in sonship?
Amen.
If we're going to be participating in sonship, then we're going to have to learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit. And when we're going to be led by the Holy Spirit, we're not going to keep doing things the same way all the time. Because we're going to be led by the Spirit. You know, that doesn't mean in church. It can mean that. But it can mean our every single day. So you're dating and you like this guy and all of a sudden, you know, you just feel like, you know, this isn't going the right way. What does the Lord want? In every circumstance in your life, God wants to participate.
Yes.
There's not a single thing that happens in your life that God is not interested in. Well, you say, I'm a failure. And maybe you are. Ask my wife. She's along for the ride. She didn't read my prophecy before she got married. Scripture said, the prophecy said that there would be many hailstones coming. I'll tell you, women, if you want to protect yourself against hailstones, have a head covering. It lets the angels know that you are submitting to your husbands.
Amen.
You got to get from underneath the hailstones. How do I get out of mine? I have to submit myself to God because God's my covering. But because I've made many failures out of every, you know, my thinking is that sometimes you win and sometimes you
learn.
Who's that learn?
Learn.
There's a smart guy. Sometimes you win and sometimes you learn, but you never lose. Amen?
Amen?
I know a lot of ways of not to do things. And if you want to know a few, my hair is gray, just come and ask me. You know, the Word of God is so wonderful. You know, the fact that He would say, you know, I know how many hair you have and how many sparrows fall and they're... Like, I mean, why does that matter? God is interested in the details of our lives. Or He wouldn't have put that in the Word. So, be led by the Spirit. Be conscious of the Spirit. You know, you may fail. That's okay. Just get up again. Just get up. Don't say, poor me. The King of Kings has come and make his abode right within you. The Holy Spirit is there. God Almighty is there. And Jesus Christ is there. Right living and residing within you, desiring. And every morning we make a choice whom we will serve. Yes. Who are you going to serve today? You have something to do with it. I love what Brother Luff mentioned. He gave some directive for India. He says, Jesus will wash away all your sins. But he's not going to wash away the carnal man. We must crucify our carnal man. We must put to death our carnal man. And we will do something when we get up in the morning. We have something to do with crucifying our natural man. And you know when you make good decisions and when you make bad decisions. But I don't want the enemy of your soul to be lying to you and you believing it, because the Word of God says we're not ignorant of his devices. I can tell you right now, if you're going to live in the natural realm, you're never going to get enough. You're never going to have enough ever, ever, ever in your life. Here's Adam and Eve standing in the Garden of Eden. What was all theirs? Absolutely everything was theirs. Well, there was only one thing that wasn't theirs. And what does the enemy focus on? Has he changed? Is he still the same? What's he going to draw your attention to? He's going to draw your attention away from the tree of life. You know, we all want power, authority. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our shadow just healed everybody and we could go see the demons fly and be gone and put into the pit of hell, never to bother anybody again? What God is working on is exactly that plan, but he's not going to do it in our carnality. That's why, like when we talked, when I talked about that the other day, about getting going through this door, I believe that there is more power and more authority beyond that door. But God is saying to us, you got to leave your baggage on this side of the door. We got to lay things down and leave it behind. And lots of that was happening. I said to my son the other day, I said, so where are your suitcases? He came to the front several times and left some suitcases there. Brother Andy literally had suitcases on the podium and said, you know, this is your baggage here. If you want to come and leave it here, just come up. And many came. But a few days later, we're back in Winnipeg and Winkler, and I'm saying to my son, where's your bags? Did you leave them there? So, I didn't leave them there, so I should condemn myself. No? Well, how am I gonna get around this? I did the wrong thing. The Word of God in Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, I seem to be very limited with my messages. The one that I talked about in North Battleford was about the Jesus in the boat with his pillow and on his way for deliverance. He was delivering one man. That's inefficiency. All his disciples in a boat going to see one man delivering him. And then he wants to follow him. He says, no, you stay there. I'm going back. We went back. Did they have any problems? Like if Jesus lives right inside of you, you're still going to have some problems? Is there any wind in your life? Any waves? You know, this story, the reason I'm repeating it is because to me, this is a pretty foundational situation. I love this word because when I'm counseling with people, they're always giving me the details. Do the details matter? You know what the details were? There's water in our boat. That's a detail. But we have pails. That's good. And we got some help. That's also good. And then the bailing starts. But you know, when the pails are too small and there's no Walmart around, then what? And that's what happens in our life. There's details in our life that are way beyond our circumstance, and we can't handle it. We haven't got a pail big enough to deal with our water that's coming into our boat. And that's found in Mark 4. So the detail was water. Water in the boat, no good. But Jesus never dealt. So that could come from the tree of the word of knowledge. Okay, we know that there's water in the boat. And it's coming in faster, and we really don't have any equipment to deal with it. So, Master, don't you care that we're drowning? Now, personalize this. You know, personalize your life and say, you know, this is what my life is looking right now. There's more water in my boat than I can bail out. Is Jesus stuck? And does he deal with the water? The answer is no. Jesus is not dealing with the water. What is Jesus dealing with? He dealt with the wind because the wind is the root cause of water in the boat. And so what the beautiful thing about Jesus is whatever your water is in your boat, Jesus will not necessarily deal with the water, but he's going to deal with the root cause. Does that make sense? And so when we're dealing with issues in our life, depression, anxiety. You know, you might get a pill. You might get some information how to deal with it. But I'll tell you, we need to get down to the root cause. And you are not a victim. You are more than a conqueror. Let God be true and every man a liar. The enemy of your soul, I don't know if he sleeps, but I doubt it. And because he's condemning us before the throne of God night and day. And he's saying, you're guilty. And you are guilty. I'm guilty. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. He paid a debt he didn't owe. I just came out of... Out of a courthouse on Tuesday. Well, what are the facts? Well, here's the facts. Okay, you got a judge, so he decides I'm looking for the kingdom of God to be established in righteousness. Yes. You know, that deals with all the facts, but deals with the root cause. And the root matter of issues. And, you know, here's a brother that understands this. He's fully protected himself in every way. And then there's people that are devious that go around. You know, the world is ready for the kingdom of God. Yes. To deal in righteousness, make righteous decisions. But, you know, we got to be able to have authority to deal with the wind, not with the water in our lives. Disciples have been with him. You know, you might have been in church like the disciples were with Jesus. He's the master. These guys were with him all the time. It's like going to church all the time. You know, you can go to church all the time and still not be able to deal with the wind. Master, don't you care that we're perishing? Are we saying that? Are we saying that when we talk about personal experiences, are we saying, Master, don't you care that we're perishing? This is not a New Testament 2,000 year ago story. This is a story for today. This is this very hour. This is time. It's time now. We're in the boat. We can all say, Master, don't you care that we're perishing? I'll tell you, if you want to have a couple of days of depression, just listen to my story. There's more than enough, believe me. And if I was not, if God hadn't impressed on me and shown me that he is more than able. Oh my goodness. I look at problems, you know, like that's such a small problem, and that's a problem. You know, people have all kinds of problems. You know, you built your fence 1 inch onto my property. That's a major. Boy. You know, the sign says that door is going to be locked at 10 o'clock and it's 10:01. It's a big problem. Got to phone the landlord. I get that. God will... The enemy of your soul is so at work, taking and robbing your joys. I think David had it figured out. He said, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. See, if we don't have the word of God, how can God be true and every man a liar if we don't have the word of God hidden in our hearts? That's why I love it when the children are talked to about the word of God and all these wonderful teachers that are ministering and parents that are ministering to their children and so on, and establishing the Word of God within them. What a wonderful order. Anyway, the enemy of our soul, he's lying to us, and let us be aware of that, and let us choose to serve God. Let us choose to be positive. The Word of God is very, very positive.
Yes.
Amen. So may the Lord bless you.
Hallelujah.
Is there any other announcements?
The snack shop will be open from 2 to 4 today, and then from 7 to 7:30 tomorrow. So they've shortened the 1 hours, but gave everybody an opportunity to get a specialty coffee or something in the morning. So, and also with the snack shop, the staff there, they're all volunteers. So none of the staff is being paid to man the snack shop. So when we're in there and we're getting our coffee or cookies or whatever, it's good for us to share the love of God and let them know we appreciate their volunteering so that we can get a coffee.
Mike Greif, make sure I do this right. Where are you, Mike? Okay. We would like to have a meeting with the college and career age, single and marrieds that are college and career age. And that's at 1 o'clock. And that's on the far side of the dining hall. There's a big spare room there. And we're just going to meet there for about half an hour before young people's. So how many of you are college and career age? Can you raise hands? Ah, I love it. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so I think we have a few, and we just need to get some input from you. And those of you who raised your hands over on this side, I'm just glad you're young at heart. You can come.
The preschoolers will meet over here at 3:30 and the 6 to 12 at 4 o'clock. And I just thought in closing, on behalf of Julie Leasing, who loved If My People, if I could ask the young people to come up and sing If My People, and we'll do, there's the first half where you say If My People. So if the young people could just sing that on their own. And then after they sing that, we could all sing together, We Your People. So if the young people can please come up. Lane, can you come and play the piano?
Father, we pray that you'll bless the afternoon. We pray that you'll keep everyone safe. We pray that you will prepare our hearts for the evening service. Father, we look for further direction from you. We thank you for the Holy Spirit's help that will guide us into all truth. Father, we pray that you would encourage every heart gathered here this morning. Lord, we just pray that you'll dismiss us in your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.